Unsolicited advice we deem important. You, on the other hand, might not. Information so good, you're encouraged to write that down. From Mackie and Judd.
Write that down.
Write this down.
Write that down. I don't have a pencil.
Well, remember that.
Write it down. You like writing things down.
All right, gentlemen, our weekly prediction segment. And first, an accountability session. I was gone last Friday.
Yes, you were.
I promised to not go back and listen on demand to Dave's Mackie prediction. I will not be that guy. And do not send me tweets. I don't want any spoilers. I don't know what the prediction
so
is.
So do you... So wait, though. Are you not going to know what else we predicted last week since you are the...
Well, no. Dave sent me all the predictions. And
but
then,
that one?
And then one of them is just says okay, Mackie right. prediction. Okay, mystery cool. Mackie prediction.
Gotcha. All right.
So I'll lean on you guys to let me know.
I'll keep tabs on that one, sure. It'll okay. take a while.
My lips are sealed, Dave.
Thank you.
For $5.
All right. Now, oh, you've come down from 500,000 now, down to five?
Dave's an individual. I don't charge them as much.
It's not worth the $5 either. It's just a bit.
Why don't you rip 1500 ESPN's promotions department, Brad Lane, down the hallway, for putting promos on the station
yep.
that talk about how great the Mackie and popular the Mackie and Judd show is? Well, isn't that false advertising? We're not number one in our time slot.
It should be, though.
Right? Hold his feet to the fire.
No, there's been a lot of TV shows that get canceled, and then years later, the critics come around and say that was a great show.
Teddy Bridgewater's career might get canceled,
that's
and later on, everyone's going to rave about those first couple of years.
All right,
years,
let's get to the...
How great they were.
Let's get to the write that down.
All right, Judd, I believe for the second straight week, had nothing come off the board. So, I don't know, you must have a lot of long-term predictions.
I did not.
So, nothing came off the board for Judd. Dave, actually, we'll get to Dave second here. I said... A couple months ago, sometime maybe in early April, mm-hmm. Judd will not have an extra base hit in Write That Down until at least June.
Yeah.
Well, this is the
How
last.
About that?
This is the last Write That Down in May.
I feel like I'm the subject of too many Write That Downs.
Well, it's free points for us, for God's sake.
I know,
sake.
But I don't. That doesn't seem very fair.
I gave you 2 months to hit an extra base hit. We're halfway through the year, and you haven't had an extra base hit.
And I feel like you would have controlled that, you and Dave. And of course, since that's your Write That Down, you wouldn't give me an extra base hit, even if I deserved one. It's somehow unfair.
Well, you haven't had anything even remotely close to debate on the extra base hit front. I said Harrigan's ninth graders would not finish above 500 this season.
Yes!
Did you guys finish 7-9?
It's kind of a jerk move.
Well, I said
that's
it. You were
moves.
Overly confident because you said that your ninth graders would finish above.
Well, I had to combat your negativity.
No, you said it first. I said it
That's
second.
Because I knew it was coming,
oh,
you
really?
Jerk. You previewed that with me. I said, fine, well, I have to support the squad.
Uh-huh.
I said the Twins would be 500 or better at the end of May.
Yes!
Mathematically, they have, they're 7 games over.
Sewn
and,
that up.
And I think they've clinched it.
Although we had 4 rainouts that did not get made up, so that's just a bunch of crap.
Oh, that
we
should be off the board then.
Those.
That should be off the board.
I give them 4 wins for those. And I said Liverpool would win the EPL, which they finished 3rd. So
that's your
didn't
team,
quite
right?
happen.
Or that was your team.
Dave also said Gopher softball would sweep through the Alabama regional. They did have a couple hits, though, so they got close. And Dave said the Cavs and Warriors would combine to lose 1 or fewer games in the conference finals. Correct on that one.
Mm-hmm.
So batting average update. I hate to say it, but Judd's still sitting here at 200 with... A slugging percentage of 200 because he doesn't have an extra base hit 5 months into the season.
Yeah, but I'm playing gold glove like defense, so you guys can get lost.
I think you've missed a couple in the accountability session.
What'd I miss?
Judd's prediction of the Cavaliers not making it to the NBA Finals.
Oh, you're right. They wouldn't win the championship.
Oh, you didn't
That's
take that one off
gone.
The board earlier?
I totally forgot about that.
I told Judd he would be wrong. The Cavs would make the finals at some point.
Oh, I thought you took that off the board. I'm sorry.
No,
I would have volunteered that.
Wait, no, Dave. I have them written. You said...
I would have self-reported.
I don't have that one for you, Dave.
Well, I clearly did it. I did it about a week after his.
Whoa.
Well, I can go back in the archives if I need to.
Do we have a situation where you were trying to sneak in or write that down so you didn't?
You
make?
Said, no, I'm sorry. You said your prediction was somewhat different. You said the Cavs would win every Eastern Conference series in 6 games or fewer, and that is correct.
Okay.
So you went more specific. I apologize. I will give you credit for that.
Yeah,
Let's give you a single for that because it's one of the greatest teams in NBA history with one of the greatest players.
Not according to Judd. He thinks I should get a home run for it.
Judd doesn't have an extra base hit.
I'm protesting this entire exercise now. Guys are making stuff up, it sounds like. I don't know what's going on. I'm protesting the whole thing.
Well, I'm protesting guy who's not even a correct judge. Jeez. Just pick whatever he wants on the accountability
session. Write that down. Season-long protest.
So the updated batting averages, Judd is now hitting 195 on the season and slugging 195, about to be sent down to the Write That Down minor leagues.
I got a lot of good ones coming up.
Dave and I are in the middle of a Sammy Sosa, Mark McGuire-like summer of bashing, 1998. I am hitting 397, slugging 655. Dave is up to 364 and slugging 606.
My word!
So bombs. What? All over the place. Yep. Let's start with Dave Harrigan.
Summer of 98 was the steroid era. Perhaps I'm the only one playing Write That Down clean.
Doesn't bother me. I'm rich.
You're Jason Tyner right now.
Yep.
Have fun.
Yep. You go right ahead, Sammy Sosa.
Write it down. You like writing things down.
I'll kick it off with this. Simply, the Twins won All-Star last year, but they will once again go back to being a multiple All-Star team in 2017. At least two. Who knows? Maybe it'll be more, but multiple All-Stars for your Twins this year.
Yeah, well, Miguel Sano is almost a lock at this point.
They make fun of me for bunt singles.
A couple others.
Write it down. You like writing things down.
A month and a half to go. Anything can happen.
Paul Molitor, who I at one time said would be fired, I've now reversed course on this, will be named American League Manager of the Year for the season.
Whoa!
Paul Molitor will be the American League, the Junior Circuit Manager of the Year.
Okay. Yeah.
Came to me last night on the treadmill.
Which would mean contract extension, probably a 3-year contract extension to go into the future. Do you think Derek Falvey and Thad Levine want him to be named Manager of the Year?
No, probably not. But but at the rate they're going, he has, I think, a great chance.
I would think, though, that just with a lot of the improvements here, it looks the Twins are more organized from a scouting perspective, communicating with players, that Paul Molitor would have to be a key cog in that in order to make that happen. So my guess is Paul Molitor has been a valuable asset and has proven his worth so far this season.
I think Paul at every turn has also made it very clear that any ideas that come downstairs from Falvey or Levine are being listened to very closely.
Yeah, and they should be.
Sure, but I'm just saying he is a guy who clearly knows where his bread is buttered and therefore will be the manager of the year.
Write that down.
Write this down.
Write this one down. Teddy Bridgewater will not play a snap in 2017.
I've got the same thing.
He will not play a snap.
I'm going to have the same thing.
Well, you'll have to change it in 2017.
Can't write this down. Write it down. You like writing things down.
So that hype video that they sent out, you don't have to worry. It is not going to lead to early activation of Teddy Bridgewater.
You guys say I'm bunting for singles. That's fine, though.
I was... Okay, go ahead, Dave.
This year's Indianapolis 500 winner will be none other than Fernando Alonso.
Wow.
Fernando
Alonso. Did Chris Long send you this one?
No.
Fernando Alonso. Okay.
He predicted last week it would be a rookie. Fernando Alonso is that rookie that will win it.
Okay. So you should almost get credit for both of those then.
Write it down. You like writing things down. Write this down.
All right, so is my Bridgewater prediction in or out then? Can we have duplicates or not?
We can.
Because I can have, I can come up with a different one, which I will, if you want me to.
You can do whatever you want.
All right, I'm going to come up with a different one. Tiger Woods.
Great.
Tiger Woods will play in no more than 3 consecutive tournaments in the coming year. As he comes back, he's going to try and come back again. He said he had the big surgery and he's doing fantastic. And he's
What does the word consecutive mean there?
So he'll play the most consecutive tournaments, so back-to-back-to-back tournaments.
Like 3 weeks in a row?
Yes.
When he was fully healthy, I don't think he played 3 tournaments in a row, did he? Only played like 20 a year.
I have no idea, but what I'm saying is if Dave can predict All-Stars for the Twins, I can predict Tiger Woods playing in no more than 3 consecutive tournaments.
But when he was winning major after major
why are you debating me?
He didn't play 3 tournaments in a row.
Why are you debating me on this?
Well, it's
a bunt single.
It's getting attentionally walked.
You predicted the first place team in the American League Central would have multiple All-Stars.
Yeah, right. There's a month and a half to go on that. They could fall on their face. Just ask Patrick.
No room to gripe and moan at my prediction.
Like Tiger Woods' schedule, when he won the calendar year major, when he won 4 majors in a row, he was the greatest golfer on the face of the planet, he still would basically play a tournament every other week, maybe back-to-back to get warmed up.
If he could come back now, he would play in multiple tournaments, and it's going to be impossible because his back won't hold up.
Wow. Write it down.
My prediction. I don't care what you guys say. I'm tuning you out. I'm tuning you out, and I'm going with my prediction.
Okay. Write this down. Our dear colleague and close friend, Patrick Roycey, sometime in the next 3 weeks, we'll pour cold water on the Twins on StarTribune.com or in the Star Tribune. In some fashion, he will either write some satirical article or he'll tell you why they're going to tank. In some form, Patrick Roycey will cast shade and pour cold water upon the Minnesota Twins and buzzkill our feel-good story here in the next 3 weeks. So by, whatever, three Fridays from right now. Write it down.
Okay.
I can see him. The tweets are piling up on the radio. He's trying to tell you that.
Write it down. You like writing things down.
All going to crash down, and he will make it official by putting it in the newspaper. Dave?
Finals parlay, Western Conference sweep, Nashville and Golden State.
Whoa! Two sweeps.
No, I'm saying the Western Conference will win. They won't be sweeps, but the Western Conference in each league will win.
Okay. I thought you were going all in there.
Yeah. No, that's okay.
That's exactly what it sounded like. Are you sure you're not?
That would be silly.
Okay.
Yeah, home run is what it would be.
Write it down. You like writing things down.
Write that down. I don't have a pencil.
Well, remember that then.
Final write that down for me on this glorious Friday. Mike and Mike, which is supposed to go until January 1st, correct? That's the plan? Mike and Mike on our airwaves?
That's not. No. No. Mike Greenberg's show starts on January 1st, TV show.
Can we agree it's supposed to go till when?
There's been no drop dead date, but you'd have to assume not the day before that they start.
All right,
new
we
show.
Need to send Judd down to write
all right,
that down.
Here's my write that down.
You're not seeing the predictions well.
Here's my write that down. Mike and Mike will not be together on ESPN Radio after July the 4th.
Okay.
They will not be partnered after July the 4th based on the stories that came out this week about the dissension, the hatred, the spite that it might exist between these two, that appears to exist.
You're giving them 1 month?
Month. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That's a home run. If that happens.
I understand that, but that's why I want a clarification on what we all agree is an ending so that I can get the most points possible.
Write it down. You like writing things down. Write this down.
Okay.
You guys just predict things about me. I mean,
I'm sorry. I have to do this. I'm going to change course. Mike and Mike will absolutely still be a pairing when week one of the NFL season starts. Mike and Mike will still be a pairing when the NFL season starts week one. Just to pick up a point there.
Okay.
Are you sure you're seeing the predictions well?
I'm swinging for the fences now.
Listen, Byron. We got to
talk. I
write that down, batting practice.
Number one, I won the batting title last year. Okay. It was Chris Parmalee-like. Now I'm struggling, so I'm swinging for the fences. I'm not saying I don't need some work. I'm not saying that, you know, I couldn't use a little bit of extra BP. But I'm swinging for the fences.
Okay. It is a game show Friday. We're going to play game shows, two of them before 1 o'clock. We were maybe going to play one next, but we babbled probably too long there, and we want to clear room for stuff. So let's come back. You have an article that we should dive into from 1500ESPN.com. It's actually, shockingly, another cold bucket of water article that we could discuss. Not that cold bucket. Like, not compared to the one you poured.
This isn't that bad.
But it is a cautionary article
you put on the website. Warn people.
Corey Provis at 11:30. We'll catch up with our probably drunken buddy Chris Long from Channel 5 at the Indy 500 later on. Mackie and Judd.
Hang on. Mackie and Judd will return shortly.
This is really mean-spirited, and I love the exercise.
On 1500 ESPN.
Everybody that is around the Vikings is enamored with Bridgewater, just from a personal perspective. He's such a good guy. And so it was nice to see the video, and everyone wants to know, does that mean that there's a chance that he'll play in 2017? TBD, obviously, but it's pretty cool.
OTAs, Winter Park, you have an article on 1500ESPN.com with some cautionary tales.
I would like to submit to both of you boys, because I've said this for years. I've said that spring training in baseball is the greatest because it's relaxed. It's, you know, you go to Florida, for instance, or watch games from Florida when it's cold here. It's fantastic. And I've always said, you know, juxtaposed with training camp in football, which is just a grind, right? You get down to Mankato, the fields are baked. You might go down and watch training camp, but it's just hot and the players look miserable
for
the most part.
Special teams walkthroughs and
I believe I have found the football's version of spring training now. OTAs and mini camps. short practices. They are in shorts and shells, if that. They can't hit, right? And furthermore, it's not that people can go watch them, but you get a lot of dispatches from OTAs and these camps, and they're all positive. And everything, I would say if there is a time when things look the most glorious, if you're a football fan, when you, if you're the Cleveland Browns, you think to yourself, man, Brock Osweiler, I heard he had a great day today. It's OTAs and mini camp. Because once you get to training camp, it's long days. Guys start to get hurt and flaws are almost immediately exposed sometimes. I mean, it's not that guys don't have good training camps, but I think that OTAs might be the greatest time of hope now for the football fan.
But you can't see them.
No.
You don't get to watch them.
But you can see like highlights of Laquon Treadwell a couple days ago making what looks to be a really good catch against Xavier Rhodes. And you can say, oh my gosh, I wonder.
Yeah, I still think.
I'm not saying it's a complete parallel. I just think it's closer.
I think as far as selling hope, when you have eight people either from, let's say, you know, the Vikings website or from Star Tribune, 1500 ESPN, live tweeting training camp practice, that's when, to me, that's peak hope.
Okay.
Where you're watching training camp practice and, oh my God, Andre Allison has caught three 40-yard passes today and just housed a kick return during special teams practice. And everyone's, you know, retweeting and a buzz. And that was early days of Twitter, by the way. Andre Allison's, that was, man, that might have been pre-Twitter, actually. That might have been just the
blog
days.
It was pre-Twitter, yeah.
But that, you know, that type of example where you can, you start to see guys pop and... could they maybe open up these OTAs? And that might be the next step where eventually mini camp and OTAs,
they might do that for
a day or something.
Yes.
Fans can come in and watch.
They definitely could.
Now they want to keep some stuff secret and in-house and they want to be able to install stuff without camera phones, putting stuff on Instagram and Twitter.
But to your point,
but one day, maybe
one day, especially when adjacent to their new building, I'm sure they'll have a big merchandise store.
Mm-hmm.
It makes perfect sense.
It is. The one guy I'll never forget, for some reason, it just stands out to me. I've told you this and you were watching this practice. Darius Raynaud had a 5-year NFL career. And it was thinking back on this, it was the first time I ever thought, well, don't trust what you see during an NFL practice one way or the other, because you can't simulate conditions of a game in a practice. It's just not possible. And so Darius Raynaud he got traded to the Giants at one point, but wound up being a pretty good punt returner, and he made a living in the NFL for a few years. And he was one of about 15 wide receivers on a 90-man roster, or 10, whatever it was, 10, 11, 12 wide receivers in 2007 or something, or 8. And I watched him go through a drill with George Stewart, the wide receivers coach at the time. And he dropped, and it was just shuffle, 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 like feet, 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 turn, catch a pass. No defender. It was just a drill. And he must have dropped, of the 10 passes thrown to him, 8 of them.
I remember that
it
practice,
was just,
yes.
It was uncomfortable to watch.
You
and everyone's like, who is this guy?
Thereafter.
He's 5'2", you know?
Yes.
Who is this guy? Oh, my God. He's super nervous, and... He thought, well, I guess when they come back to training camp, there's no way that guy's going to be on the roster. Well, he was, and then there's no way that guy makes the 53, and then he did.
Yep.
There's no way that guy gets playing time, and he did. It's so hard to simulate, and baseball is kind of the same way, where you're facing a double-A pitcher who's throwing one pitch that he can control.
Mm-hmm.
And you're Byung-ho Park, and you're sitting on that pitch, and you're hitting home runs. And it's why Derek Falvey and Thad Levine said, we're going to make you prove it in AAA again because we don't believe it. And in the NFL, it's like, so you're burning someone in 7-on-7s, you're Bucky Hodges, and you're burning someone in 7-on-7s, let's wait until you face an all-pro linebacker in coverage. Or let's wait for linebacker in training camp, the next Audi Cole, to cover a Rob Gronkowski over the middle before we start really putting value in. So I don't know. I think training camps and spring training and mini camps and OTAs are it gets you it whets your... appetite.
It gets fans excited and it gives teams basically all this time right now is about, if you're the Vikings, is installing things. That's what you're doing. So the three briefly that I touched on the column that I wrote for our website, 2012. In April of 2012, the Vikings signed Jerome Simpson. And if you remember, in June of 2012, and this was right before he actually got the 4-game suspension because he had a 2.5-pound package of pot delivered to his house.
Yeah.
Jerome Simpson makes a fantastic catch against Chris Cook, take that for what it's worth, on a deep ball from Christian Ponder. Those
three guys.
That still exists on the Vikings Entertainment Network. I went and linked to it, and in the background, you could see Tom Pelissero, our buddy, covering the Vikings for the time for us, watching the practice and charting it.
That's pretty funny.
That was my one. The two was, do you remember 2000, and it must have been 2007, I believe, he came back. Troy Williamson is a complete bust in 05 and 06. He comes back and he's been to the Nike Vision Clinic, and they decided that his left eye, I believe, was stronger than his right eye, and that was the problem. That's why he couldn't catch a football. So he comes back and he's talking about that from the time that he had gone to the Vision Clinic, I believe, in March until he arrived for OTAs that year. He'd caught 14,000 passes, mm-hmm. catching everything. Unbelievable. And then I linked to the game in Denver. That same season, last regular season game of 2007, where poor Troy drops not one but two passes, including the deep ball from Tavares Jackson. Poor Tavares couldn't have thrown it any better. Tavares Jackson throws this beautiful deep ball. Troy, because of his speed, has beaten the Broncos. He's behind the safeties, and he completely muffs the ball.
Yeah.
And then my third one was OTAs. And they were different at that time because they weren't as big a deal. OTAs and minicamp 2005 when Fred Smoot arrived. And all you read about was the Smoot-Winfield combination. And they paid those guys a lot in back-to-back years to come here. This combination was going to be fantastic. And Fred Smoot was going to be, Fred wouldn't shut up. The entire OTA. I recall Seifert wrote this thing about how the whole practice, you could just hear Fred. Because Fred was going to come in and he was going to shut things down. What? Two-thirds of the earth is covered by water, one-third by Fred Smoot.
I think it might have been the other way around, even.
Hold on, I've got it right here. No, he said two-thirds of the world is covered by water.
Okay.
The other third is covered by me, Fred Smoot.
And that's one of the greatest lines in sports history.
Yes, but...
such an amazing line.
But the greatest memory involving Fred was actually not the Love Boat itself, but the fallout in Carolina when Steve Smith caught the ball, I believe down at the three-yard line, gets tackled, goes to the ground, and rows the boat. Steve Smith, fantastic. But it's funny because this time of year we see things or hear about things and we think to ourselves, this is going to be unbelievable. It's a cautionary tale.
Yep.
That's all it is.
Mr. Cautionary.
Cautionary tale.
Judd Zolga. Don't get excited. Hey, the weekend's coming, but what if it's not? My column.
What if it rains?
What if it doesn't? What if it's just Tuesday, all of a sudden?
Dave, what kind of stuff do you have for us next?
We've got a new way to rank college football programs. We'll dive into the many regrets of Rashad McCants why the Red Sox should be thanking the umpire that hosed them last night.
Awesome. We'll get to all that stuff. We are watching right now on a shiny 55-inch TCL 4K Roku TV. Little Gopher baseball action. Down 5-3 in the top of the fifth inning. Looks like there's nobody on and nobody out here. Morning baseball game. You know, TCL is America's fastest growing TV brand. That's why we have jumped in as a radio station to partner with them. It's the TCL Broadcast Studios. And so we've got this amazingly huge, take up half the wall TV in here. You don't have to get a 55-inch. You can get all kinds of sizes. But find out for yourself why TCL is the third largest TV brand in the world and why it's America's fastest growing TV brand, available at local Target stores. The Roku aspect is very interesting. It's not an external device, which is how Rokus are ordinarily connected to TVs. This is a built-in Roku streaming platform, allowing you access to streaming networks like NBA TV, Watch ESPN, Fox Sports Go, WWE Network, health, fitness, yoga channels, you name it, you have access to it. TCL TVs. Find out for yourself.
Hang on. Mackie and Judd will return shortly.
It hurts, but it's true.
It hurts, but it's true.
On 1500 ESPN.
And this portion of Mackie and Judd is sponsored by JCPenney. Get to our Memorial Day sale and celebrate the savings with great deals on select items like pillows for $3.99 and tanks for her just $4.99. That's getting your pennies worth. JCPenney.
Stuff you should know about right here. Get your stuff you should know about.
Pass your cash to the end of the aisle, and we'll pass back some stuff you should know about.
We want stuff. We want stuff.
Here's Dave Harrigan. What you know about?
All right, Dave Harrigan, give us the stuff.
Yep.
Well, after a little OTA talk, let's peddle some more hope.
Get some cold cuts. Get some cold cuts. Get some cold cuts.
His skill set, but his physical ability and the way he trains and his athleticism, I think he's excited to get back and return healthy.
Wow. Something football. It's football. Football-y football.
Yeah, it's definitely football. You could tell from the voice of the guy, right?
And we're talking about like health and offseason. It's somebody who is injured.
Yeah.
Chuck Pagano?
That's not Chuck. That's Sean Payton talking about the new toy he's got in his backfield. Yeah. Oh, they're pumped up about AP.
So
pumped up.
Did you see the stories today as well that he's working on things like pass protection and catching the ball?
Because he hasn't the last dozen years?
Yeah. It's an obligatory Adrian Peterson story if you cover the team he plays for.
It's the same story that's been written in this town for years.
Just correct.
Cut and paste and change the team. Change the quoted people's names.
Let's talk about Charles Barkley. Yes, they wrapped it up in the NBA. It was, frankly, over well before the game was actually done yesterday, the Eastern Conference being decided. Cleveland beating Boston. Yeah, this was halftime, and Chuck had seen enough.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to sneak back to the hotel, watch the rest of the hockey game. It's 1-1, y'all. And I'm going to pack up my stuff, because this baby's a wrap.
Okay, you're going to just report something for the post-game show for us?
No, I'm going to be back for the post-game. Oh.
The word is Chuck, however, very upset because he had money on Ottawa.
Oh, did he really?
That's the word, yes. That's the rumor.
He bets hockey?
Well, he loves himself some NHL playoffs.
Yeah,
we know that.
Everything, yeah.
That's an impressive amount of being a derelict when you're actually betting hockey. Because you bet like a goal and a half or something. It's very weird.
I'm sure people make a living betting hockey.
Probably do.
A lot of degens out there. I follow a couple of them. Sure. Remember we had that guy on? The guy who was making the documentary, or the documentary was about him, about professional gambling guy?
Yeah, those.
I follow a couple of those guys on Twitter now, and they're constantly posting about everything, but hockey included. Yeah. Betting regular season hockey.
Good well, for Barkley. As far as the game, Barkley was supposed to be paying attention to.
Back to LeBron James. It goes for a three. He knocks it down. And LeBron James, with that triple, has just passed Michael Jordan to now become the top scorer in NBA playoff history.
I wear the number because of Mike. I think I fell in love with the game because of Mike, just seeing what he was able to accomplish. When you're growing up and you're seeing Michael Jordan, you it's almost like a god. So I didn't never believe I could be Mike. So I started to focus myself on other players and other people around my neighborhood because I never thought that you could get to a point where Mike was.
Yeah, and I grew up absolutely idolizing Michael Jordan. I have memorabilia just throughout my place, and I have Michael Jordan stuff. I've saved all these magazines from the 80s and 90s and 2000s. So as a Michael Jordan guy growing up, Michael Jordan was one of my favorite athletes. The gap is closing. If LeBron James beats this Warriors team back-to-back years, and he 32, 31, 32? He still has years left. Maybe he's not playing at this level for the next 8 years.
Yeah.
But for people to act like, and this was my timeline last night when I was tweeting about this, for people to act like it's not a conversation or a debate, pay attention, man. Michael Jordan wasn't this good of a rebounder or passer. Michael Jordan never went to 8 finals. He went to 6. He won all 6. He didn't go to 8. LeBron's going to go to like 10 mm-hmm. or more when it's all said and done. Mm-hmm. Somebody, one of the Michael Jordan truthers, tweeted at me this morning, and he wasn't kidding. And I was saying, oh, Michael never beat this Spurs team or this Warriors team or that Oklahoma City Thunder team in the finals. He didn't face teams that good in the finals. Maybe that Jazz team. Said, what are you talking about? Sean Kemp is one of the greatest power forwards of all time.
Man-child.
If you think that about Sean Kemp, then had some goggles on in the 90s, baby. Sean Kemp. Yeah, he was the best at impregnating women, maybe, but...
Did Michael Jordan ever go to the finals with a Bulls team that had as few pieces around him as LeBron did in his first stint with the Cavs, too?
No.
Because those That's Bulls teams like, lost to the Pistons. I remember they couldn't get past the Pistons, correct. and then they finally did.
People punish LeBron for getting a bad team to the finals and not
and
ready at all
the
and then getting smoked.
Right.
Like his resume would somehow be better if he didn't lose in the finals.
But the comparison is those Bulls teams never got to the finals.
Nor did those Bulls teams face a dynasty in the finals.
You know what
they faced the tail end of a Lakers dynasty, but that was a broken down Lakers team.
The issue in many ways is in people's minds, Jordan is Babe Ruth. So they'll always talk about it like that, which is this level of sports royalty that is in some ways probably very true, but in some ways it's this, you deify them, and then the reality is you don't say, okay, but what was going on in the league at that time? What were the faults?
LeBron's a better outside shooter, too. Look at their three-pointers are much more prominent now, so it's part of it's just the league evolving. So I think Michael Jordan's the greatest player of all time right now. But LeBron is definitely knocking on the door.
The Boston Red Sox should be thrilled that they got hosed by some bad umpiring last night. Rangers wrapping up a series in Boston. Bottom of the ninth inning, Craig Kimbrel on the hill, first batter at the plate.
2-2. And that'll do it. That's a swing and a miss, but it gets away from Vasquez.
He swung and it hit him. It hit him. It hit his foot. He swung and missed and it hit him. I'm telling you, he's out, and they're not going to call it.
The ball clearly hits the batter as he swings on strike three. Should be a dead ball. Batter ruled out. Well, umpire didn't see it that way as the ball rolled to the backstop. Runner goes to first, and umpire says, look, I don't think it hit him. Can't challenge that, so runner gets first base. Kimbrel then proceeds to strike out the next three hitters. What does that mean? Four strikeouts in the inning and tying a major league record for a combined 20-strikeout game for Boston pitching.
Wow. Holy cow. So as a staff, they had 20 strikeouts.
Drew Pomeranz, of all people,
really?
Was your starter in the game, yes.
How many did he have as a starter?
He had 11, I believe.
Wow. Clemens had 20 twice for the Red Sox,
yes,
by himself,
yes,
in a game.
And Kerry Wood had 20 against the Astros, right? In
98? And then Randy Johnson was the only one to strike out. Impressive.
I like this, but we have controversy, boys. Pecking order controversy. Are you aware that there's a pecking order that's been around specifically for college football for the last 10 years?
They call it pecking order?
It is the program pecking order.
No.
Created by Stuart Mandel. He did it first in August of 2007, ranking program just based on prestige of the program throughout history. I don't know if we can keep doing a pecking order as we do each Tuesday, but we're going to go through this. He ranks them. There's about 50 to 60 programs just total here. He ranks them in four different categories. So it's not a 1 through 60, all right? There's Kings, there's the Barons, there's the Knights, and there's the Peasants.
Okay.
I'm betting you can guess where the Gophers fall.
So is this all time, or is this more
prestige
snapshot
of the program?
Oh,
yes, this
peasants.
Is going back,
yeah,
as
we're
far as
oh, peasants. We're peasants now.
You could say, like, in the last five, because they go to bowl games, they might be Knights now, but they're peasants all
yeah.
time.
Yeah, it's going to be peasants, unfortunately.
Yeah, apparently. Now, the pecking order is not something that's taken lightly. It's done every 5 Whoa. Years. So this is only the third program pecking order, but yeah, the Gophers are sitting with Purdue and Rutgers and Vanderbilt and Iowa State.
That's accurate.
That's fair. That's very fair.
Who's
at the top?
At the top,
Alabama.
Your typicals. You have three Big Ten teams that are part of the Kings.
Michigan, Ohio State, and Penn State.
That kind of surprised me. I thought Penn State might be down
them.
A notch.
I would have dropped them.
After another good year last year, maybe that was worth it. Nebraska was a King 5 years ago. They have been dropped down a notch. They are now Barons.
I like that, yeah.
Interesting, okay. So why would Penn State still be up there but not Nebraska?
I don't know.
I would say historically, wouldn't you think that Nebraska historically adds more value?
I would drop Penn State to Barons as well.
No, Nebraska not impressive. What, the last 5 years or so? They've been kind of bleh. Wisconsin, by the way, they're tier two. They're Barons.
That bothers them so much.
I know.
So much.
It bothers Gopher fans, too, though. Why can't we be Barons?
Yeah.
Because you're not.
But Badger fans legit think that, and of course, coming from a Gopher fan, it sounds stupid to say this because the Gophers are further down, but Badger fans legit think that their program is right there with Alabama. That, oh, well, we just don't get the love. No, you're just not Alabama.
You know what? I take Baron. I'll take a Baron.
I would too, yes.
You know what?
Fine with that.
You know who wouldn't, who isn't happy also about their Baron status?
Who?
The Volunteers.
Yeah.
Ships, guys. Shipper? Tennessee. They're not Kings. They're Barons.
Well, they're not Kings right now, no. I mean,
not in every Tennessee's fan's heart, they're not.
Well, where's Notre Dame at?
Notre Dame, I believe they are.
Personal.
Well, yeah, they're a King. I don't get it, but that's fine. They've got the prestige in the national team.
I would have dropped them to Bears as well.
They just have really expensive alumni who
buy
Mandel to put in the King category. Loaded and rich.
The Charlotte Observer, is that the paper? Yeah, that's what it is. Yesterday they had a piece about the life and times, the career of Rashad McCants. Specifically about the many regrets of Rashad McCants over his years in the NBA. Many of those, of course, with the Timberwolves. A lot of regrets even before that, not bringing the North Carolina academic scandal up sooner, trying to handle the situation internally. But what do you think of all the regrets Rashad McCants could have? Is his biggest regret, biggest source of remorse, as they write?
Just as a Timberwolf or
just
more
as
life?
A basketball player over his career, a mistake he made in his career that cost him dearly.
Yeah, so it'd be a particular thing. I don't. So many.
I mean, just standing in the 3-point corner and doing nothing the entire time. Would that be it?
Not quite. He says, quote, without that situation in play, I am a $60 to $70 million player easily. That situation he refers to, the highly publicized relationship with Khloe Kardashian late in his career, just before he left the Wolves, joined the Kings, and then was subsequently out of the league shortly after.
That was a long time ago, too. And at the time, Kim was the main attraction for that family. Now Khloe has gained prominence. So he thinks that teams
would have
don't pay him because the teams didn't pay him because of his relationship with Khloe. That's basically what he's saying.
He believes it's because he's not good at that they didn't want.
He's not good at basketball. That's
did he
that's
happen
why.
To watch the tape of himself playing to realize that teams passed on because of that?
Yeah. I love watching him when you'd go to a game and you just follow guys around, and he would stand in the corner. And KG was on the team too. Like KG would get double teamed in the post or something, and McCants would be like in the corner, like clapping his hands. I'm open. And KG would go up and go over a double team and put one in from the lane because he's freaking KG.
Yep.
And McCants would roll his eyes and kind of like run back down.
Like, how could you pass up?
I'm wide open in the corner.
I'm a shot McCants.
Dude, you're an idiot. two game shows on the horizon between now and 1 o'clock. Corey Provis at 11:30. Chris Long, we'll see if he is up and at him tailgating at the Indy 500. So a lot of things to get to on a Friday. Mackie and Judd. But you know what, Judd?
What's that, Phil?
To get to more than anything else.
Yeah.
It's Memorial Day weekend here. And I'm sure because it's going to be 75, 80 degrees, people are going to be out and about, outdoor activities. You're going to get thirsty. And so if you get thirsty this weekend, I recommend you walk into McDonald's. You take a dollar out of your pocket, or you take four quarters, whatever it may be. You plop it on the, plop your dollar, your four quarters on the desk, on the counter.
I got you.
And you get a fountain drink, a large, because that's all it costs at McDonald's right now. If you want a large fountain drink of any kind, $1.
Hold on a second. So you're telling me that if I want a Coke, a Diet Coke, a Sprite, or a Dr. Pepper, they're all only $1?
And do they still have that orange high C, too? I'm guessing that's included, right? The orange high C.
I'm phasing that out, actually.
I am looking what's included right now, and I see Coke, Diet Coke, Sprite, and Dr. Pepper. But for only $1, what else can you get in this country right now for as little as $1, especially if it's going to satisfy
you? Nothing. The only thing you can get in this country for $1 is a fountain soda at McDonald's.
Don't go anywhere.
You know, we don't think you've heard enough about sports. We're back right after this.
More Mackie and Judd coming up next on 1500 ESPN.
We'll get you a Mike Zimmer update here in a few minutes. He's just wrapping up a conference call, so we'll organize all the things he said. He gave a date for when he's going to be back. So we'll organize that, and we'll get it to you probably at the top of the 11 o'clock hour. I was glued. I wasn't glued to the entire Game 7 last night because I wanted to watch LeBron James just beating the crap out of the Celtics for a little while and then flipped over in the third period.
Yeah.
But that was, if you're right, if you're the NHL, you're clearly rooting for Sidney Crosby and the United States-based team to be in. And those are two interesting. You got Pittsburgh with Sidney Crosby and then Nashville, kind of an exciting American city. So
PK Subban.
Yeah, it's a unique, somewhat interesting matchup. I don't know how many casual outside fans you're going to draw in, but you can, for diehard hockey fans, that's a really intriguing matchup.
But was last night not the perfect sort of just snapshot of the playoffs in these two leagues? Game five, Boston, and Boston, which had played really two good games, right, against the Cavs in Cleveland, just gets absolutely annihilated at home.
It is
done by halftime.
But I would say that at least in the NBA, we get the matchup that you're hoping for the summer.
I'm just saying.
You're looking ahead for the summer blockbuster, and it's on the horizon, and you get it. As opposed to the NHL, which almost gave you Ottawa versus Nashville.
I'm just saying as far as the snapshot about the complaints of these two leagues, last night was absolutely perfect. Because Cleveland plays Boston, and it's a blowout, but ultimately, you're right, you're going to get the finals that everyone will watch. And in hockey, you get this fantastic double OT games 7 between the Senators and Penguins. But if there's no way that the NBC people and Gary Bettman weren't absolutely holding their breaths thinking, oh my God, if Ottawa wins this thing. I mean, Nashville's a good storyline, but if you have Nashville and Ottawa play in the Stanley Cup Finals, one, as you just said, you're dealing with a team in Canada, which gets no ratings point whatsoever in the United States. And two, the Senators have Erik Karlsson, who's fantastic. They have a good goaltender, but largely their forwards play a trapping style. So it's boring.
Well, their style is boring, and nobody knows who any of their players
are. So this is an ideal matchup. And as I said, or as we talked about with Lou on Thursday's show too, the impressive thing here is when I was a kid, when I first started following hockey, the Montreal Canadiens were just concluding 4 consecutive Stanley Cup titles. Then Islanders come in, same thing. Then the Oilers, same basic thing. We now have not had a team go back-to-back since 97-98 in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
That's how hard it's become. So if Pittsburgh pulls this off, it's going to be really impressive.
I would be pushing, if you're the NHL, push Sidney Crosby to the moon here. Just push the storyline. Push the comparisons to historical players. You know, if he wins again this year, where does he sort of fall? Do the comparison to Gretzky. The numbers don't stack up because the eras are different, which is actually tough. That's one thing that the NHL, other sports, you can kind of go back and in the NFL, records are being broken. Touchdown pass records are being chased and broken. It's evolving. In the NHL, it ain't nowhere close to the goals being scored in the 80s.
Offensively, yeah.
Let's come back. Mike Zimmer just sat on a conference call. Grouchy Mike Zimmer was giving an update to the local media. He provided a date for when he's going to be back and at least updated people on his current condition. So we will relay that information. We've got a couple game shows to play between now and 1 o'clock. Corey Provis on the surging Minnesota Twins at 11:30. Mackie and Judd.
Sit tight. No. Mackie and Judd resume things following these messages.
That's the result you won't get!
On 1500 ESPN.